lead me to you, lead me to your arms, change my heart from inside so I be like you. And we continue to learn the way to live effectively for him. I'll be reading chapter 4 from verse 20 to verse 27. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Lord, keep our feet before you, in the path before you. Help us to follow you in obedience as we hear your word. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue our series in effective living. During the summer, we'll take the time to kind of bring the word into life in ways that we can see application more readily. Not that in other parts of Scripture, applications are not there for us, because application is not so much what we take from the lesson and apply it to our life. It's the work of the Spirit. It is God taking His Word and make it alive in us and making the change in us and cause us to hear, understand, and follow. So it is, in a way, deceptive that when something is straightforward and understandable that we are able to apply. I find that not possible at all. We cannot apply the Word. The Holy Spirit applied it in our heart. The Holy Spirit works it, the truth in us changes from inside. And that's something we need to understand as we look at the topic today, and that is to be honest and be true. Because this is an area that we often stray away, not knowing, always thinking that perhaps we are doing the right thing. But to live effectively, to serve effectively, we need to master many areas of character and relationship. And one part, very important at this part today, the area of honesty and dishonesty. We already looked at the distinction or the vast difference between wisdom and foolishness in the Lord. We define that not as the wisdom of the world, the way to behave, you know, the how-tos that we follow to win friends and influence people. We can do that all right on the surface, yes, but nothing can change in the heart. Because wisdom is relationship in the Lord, and foolishness is the heart that is away from Him. And so it's the same way that we need to look at today. And that is the work of the Lord in our heart, make us honest. And not under that influence and transformation, we are who we are, and that we are liars and dishonest people. So we can say this, that any deterioration or destruction or collapse of life and relationship always has at the core problem the issue of dishonesty. And any life relationship and service that is effective also have at the core a powerful component, and that is honesty before the Lord. I don't know, maybe some of you are too young for this, but there was a song, I believe, by Billy Joel, you know, kind of complaining about relationship. And he has a phrase, honesty, such a lonely word. I don't know if you recall. Because, you know, in relationship, honesty is hard to find. So it's kind of, you know, a lonely word. When you say it, you don't find a lot of companion. But the strange thing is this, when we ask people and when we ask ourselves, are you kind of, you know, basically an honest person? Most of us say we are. Most of us believe that we are honest. Let me just have a confession before you. Very rare that I do this. And then I'll follow with an accusation just to balance it out, okay? Well, I must confess that I'm not an honest man. Really want to be. Really desire to be. But I have that tendency in me that a lot of time I see it expressed in ways that's really strange and disconcerting, and it's not very honest. When you sit there and say, oh man, my pastor is a liar, and you would be right. That tendency is in there. It's a natural tendency, and I catch that in myself often, and it alarms me a lot. But also, let me also say to you that you are the same. That you are just the same liars as I am. Because the Bible is telling us that we are all like that. In Psalms 116, it said that all men are liars. See, this matter of the honesty and dishonesty is not so much in our behavior. It's not so much in our upbringing. Those are areas that we may manifest the reality of our heart. But the Bible says that we are liars. We are liars by nature. We are deceptive in our blood, and we are dishonest in all the ways that we are. And we may not see it. Sometimes we catch it. But the basic nature in our heart, and that is we are liars, and we are cheaters, and we are dishonest people. Romans 3:4 also say that when we come to the Lord, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. And the Bible said that when God say it, He is true, He is right. And all men consider, you know, measure under that truth of God will be found liars. Now this is important to start out with that note, because it is not our normal perspective. Like I said, we think ourselves as basic honest people, and sometimes, you know, slip and lies. The Bible turned that around. He said that the Bible said that we are liars, are incapable of telling the truth, incapable of being honest. We might think we are, but we are not. And that's sometimes something we need to discover and then find the cure. And so we remember that the Bible defined for us a fool, or a person living in disconnection to the Lord, is basically subjective in his thinking, that the reference point is himself, and the way he measures the world is through his feelings and experience and understanding. And therefore he will say that his way is true and his behavior is right, and he is honest. And he is a fool before the Lord, and he is dishonest, and he is wrong. And so we very hard for us to really discern this. So we just want to say that we have a problem. We have a huge problem, and the problem is not for us to fix. We cannot fix it ourselves. And therefore we need to come and examine that in the light of Scripture and see, you know, the prescription for our ills, our problem, in the power of God's grace and in the work of His gospel. So I point out two things here. That to be honest and to be true, we need to understand the roots of dishonesty. And there are three points that we laid out. First of all, dishonesty is of the devil. Second, dishonesty is from the heart. And third, dishonesty is with many faces. It is of the devil, it's from the heart, and it's with many faces. Meaning it expresses in so many different ways. And then we'll look into the cure of dishonesty. How do we reorient our heart, and how do we enter into the power of God's transformation? And we note first of all, or we commit first of all, to understand God's attitude concerning our dishonesty and our problem. And then we need to, from Scripture, see the consequences of such life and such heart. Consider the consequences, and then we seek God's solution. And as you know, this kind of study, a lot of things that we need to deal with. So I'll be moving fast. So I hope you put on your seatbelt and get your Bible ready and go through with me. Now I just want you to note that Jesus, in his ministry, one group of people that he really went after, and that is the Pharisees. You know, he showed mercy and patience with all kinds of people, sinners and all. But one group of people he's really goes to their throat, and that is the Pharisees, because basically they're hypocrites. Because he want to point out, you are basically dishonest when it comes to relationship with me. You shine on the outside, but you're rotten in the inside, and you think it is okay. And that basic dishonesty before the Lord is just so contrary to His nature, so irksome to His wholeness that He said, you know, this has to go. And He said that, you know, prostitutes and sinners are closer to the kingdom of heaven than you are. And so for us, this kind of light need to shine very deep into our heart, because most of us in the church, especially those who serve, especially those in leadership, particularly pastors, we think we're okay. And the Bible said we are in great danger, because we need to constantly hang on to God's truth and power to overcome this. So let's take a look at the first area, and that is dishonesty is of the devil. And this is the biblical starting point. The Bible is not starting with us, you know, it's our weak upbringing, or, you know, we have weird parents, or, you know, we go through experience in life that we don't understand. He said that it is in the nature, it is in the heart. And because we manifest something that at the core can be summed up, and that is of the devil, demonic, all falsehood, lying begin with the devil. Let's just start out with you in the gospel before we come back to Proverbs. Turn with me to John 8. Now Jesus is telling the Pharisees, but all others, saying that there is an incapability for them to understand His word. They just cannot have relationship with Him. They cannot relate to what He said. And He said it is not because you lack intelligence, not because you lack understanding. It is because in your heart, you are incapable of understanding the truth. Why? Because you are of your father, the devil, and in that nature that you operate, there is no room for the truth, and there's no penetration from God's light. And so in verse 44 and 45, He said this. let me just read from verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If you, God, were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come from my own initiative, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Wherever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." He said that the devil, whenever he speaks, it's so natural for him. He speaks so naturally in lies. That is his native language. That when he speaks from his own nature, and he is a liar and the father of liars. And he said, "You are of your father. You speak the same language. You show the same nature. How? How do you know a lying heart? Not so much from the words." He said, "Yeah, you show your lying heart when you do not understand my word, when the truth cannot come to you, when it won't register, and you don't understand." Now, many of us say, you know, it's a long sermon, it's a tough word, it's whatever, but be careful. The Bible said when the truth comes and we are unable to receive and unable to respond, there is something very, very wrong inside. And that is, He said that if you are my sheep, you hear my voice, if you are of God, you will understand and you will love me. But when the nature that is in you makes you so incapable, then be careful. You are just like your father, the devil. You know, very very strong words here to lay down the foundation for us. That when we're talking about lies and lying and dishonesty and things like that, we are not talking about behavior. Yes, it will manifest out in behavior. But it is the nature within, and therefore the cure has to be from within inside by the power of God working within us. Because God is the very opposite. The nature of God is that He cannot tell the lie. He cannot lie, and in Him there's only truth. Titus 1:2, you don't have to turn there, but Paul said it is impossible for God to lie. Hebrew That is in Hebrews 6, 18, say it is impossible for God to lie. And in Titus 1, 2 said, God does not lie. It's just that nature in him. Dishonesty, lying, is impossible with him, is not part of him. But in number, maybe this one you should turn, because he is comparing between his nature and our nature, and he said this in number 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? He just compares, and he said that, you know, you man lies, and you man fail to carry out your word, but I'm God, I'm not man, and therefore impossible for God to lie. So he said that God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. So in us, that is that nature, and that nature is very, very deep and very, very, strong. We cannot extract from that. We cannot escape from it except from the work of the Lord and the power of the cross. Psalm 12, verse 1 and 3 cries out with the desperation of understanding that our nature is so overwhelming. It is not just in the individual, it is in the community. This is a community that lies, a community that's deceptive. Help, O Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boasting tongue. Lord, help for the godly are no more. For a community, when we come together, everybody lies to one another. Say hello, you know, God bless you, God loves you, I love you too, and all that. But then behind that, there's no love, there's no commitment, there's no sense of sacrifice as such. And he said, you know, where are we going to find honesty and truth here? I recently heard on the radio program a very famous preacher, and he declared this, and I would just chuckle when I hear that. He said, I'm not perfect. I have many problems, but I promise you I will be completely honest to you. I pledge to you my honesty. I pledge to you my integrity. I say, this is one strong man, brave man, and very delusional. Because we cannot pledge our honesty, and we cannot pledge our integrity, you know, completely. Because is it impossible for us to do? You know, that is the work of God in sanctification until the end. But there's no way we can say, you know, I will be completely honest to you. Because just saying that is dishonest. Why? Because we don't realize how deep this is. Turn with me to Psalm 58, verse 3. Psalm 58 tell us that it is not in the environment. It's not because of your parents. It's not because of your friends or, you know, who you hang out with. It said that even from birth the wicked go astray. From the womb they are wayward and speak lies. You know, when we were yet in the womb, we already speaking lies. He said that because it is our nature. The first word we say, or the first cry we make, will be of that such nature coming through. You know, sometimes we grown up and we forget how deep that is. But if you have children and you watch them, you will see that lying is the first thing that comes through. You know, when they did something, you ask, did you do it? No. You know, it comes very naturally. Nobody teach them. It just come. It's in the heart. I guess it comes from parents, because we do pass that through, you know. We forget that we pass it to our children, so we beat them up. But then we realize, boy, how come they just keep acting like me? When then we realize that, Lord, you know, help both of us, help all of us, because children from their womb, they are wayward and speak lies. But you say, no, you know, it's safe in the church, right? We're all holy people, we're all sanctified. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. I think the church is where the thing is most dangerous. is because we are deceived in thinking that perhaps just because we sing a few songs and give each other a few hugs and do a few things that somehow we overcome this problem. But in Jeremiah 9:4-6, talking about God's people now, he said that beware of your friends. Do not trust your brothers. For every brother is a deceiver and every friend is a slander. Friend deceives friend and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie. They weary themselves with sinning. You live in the midst of deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me. I mean, it cannot be that bad, can it? No, not perhaps not from our perspective, because we're so deep and in it, and you know we're familiar with it. But the Lord, when He looks down, He said, "Everybody speaks lie. You know, among my people, everybody speaks lie. They taught their tongue to lie, and they weary themselves, meaning they sin so much they become tired from this, and they live in the midst of deception." Unless we come to realize that, we will never run to the Lord in desperation and say, "Lord, show mercy." We think, okay, I'll fix it a little bit, you know, I'll change my way. And we will think, just preach a few sermons, you know, to just sit down with the person and tell something that the behavior will change. It will not. It will not. Yeah, I've been preaching for a long time, and I know that unless God used that word on me and God used that word on people, nothing's going to change. You know, you knock your heads, and I'll knock my head, but nothing's going to change. Why? Because we weary ourselves out in deception. It is deep inside. So you and me, we got that problem. And the problem we cannot solve, like I said, you know, it's from the devil. It's the nature of sin. And the nature of sin is lying from the beginning. And therefore, when we see that, we know that the root of sin is still with us. We have been delivered from the penalty of sin. We are given the power to overcome sin, but we're still in His presence until the Lord come and transfer us and take us home into His presence. Until then, we live with the struggle and the call to overcome this by the power of grace. But we will not be well served if we just say, you know, "I'm an honest man. I slip a little bit here and there and I'll fix it." No, just a little bit here and there. It's just a window into the reality of heart. And that's the next point. Dishonesty is from the heart. Now, it may sound strange, but I think once we realize that, we will realize exactly what it is in Scripture. First turn with me to Jeremiah 17. But before I read the 17, verses 9 and 10, I just want to repeat what I said last week. And that is, there is this thing in our culture today to call us to be authentic to ourselves, to define that we need to be true to our feelings and true to our heart, that we need to say how we feel and tell people what we think. And that will be defined by ourselves as being honest. You know, "I'm an honest man. I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to pour my heart. I'm going to tell you how I feel." And that is the definition of honesty. And I think that is, again, a picture of the deception that we see and we see in the world and see in us. Because what if the inside is ugly? I asked last time and I asked again. What if the inside is ugly? What if the feelings are bad? What if the thoughts are wrong? Now, if we are true to that, we are not true to ourselves. We are true to our sinful nature. And that is not honesty. That is not biblical definition. So the cry that, "But I got to be true to myself," you know, and then the answer is, what's so great about yourself that you have to be true to? You know, what's so great about our feelings, what's so great about our thoughts, what's so great about whatever going in us, that we ought to make that a reference point and live with people with that? Because that is, again, the definition of foolishness and, you know, not the wisdom from God, and the nature of sin. So the foundation cannot be on our heart. We cannot rely on it. Let's hear Jeremiah 17:9-10. Tell us, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to examine each man to his own ways according to the result of his deeds. It called out to say that the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Nobody can understand it. We cannot understand our heart. We can never truly ever 100% understand our motives, our nature, you know, things that move inside, because it is wicked. It is, you know, by nature dead, and now transformed, but the habits and all that still there, until, you know, the Word and the Holy Spirit overcome for us, and in grace God transformed. So when we say I got to be true to myself, be careful, because we are saying I just have this need to be true to my sinful nature. I just need to speak the deceitfulness from inside. To really think it that way is to transform the reference point, to move a reference point from ourselves. Honesty is not true to ourselves. Honesty has to be true to what God wants us to be. Honesty is to prescribe to the call a person that God wants us to be and say, that is the person I'm ought to be. That is what God wants me to be, and I do my utmost to be true to that, to be consistent with that, to be all that I can be, you know, in the power of God, not just, you know, my current feelings right now. Psalms 36, 1 and 3 also help us to kind of see that a little bit more. It said that an oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Let me just point out that phrase for you, as NIV translates very well. It said that for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. Meaning in our heart, you know, because we are so self-focused and self-concerned and self-reference, there's no way for us to detect dishonesty. There's no way to say, okay, this is inconsistent with myself, because, well, who I am is who I am. If I define honesty is consistent with myself, there is no way we can detect our sin, and therefore there's no way we can hate sin. Until that reference point move out in the light of Scripture, and we compare how we feel inside, what moves us inside, with what God has stated down for us in Scripture, then we know that we are way, way far from Him. So our hearts are completely deceitful. You know, there are times I have to pray before the Lord. Lord, I'm going to just do the work. I cannot control the motives of my heart. You take care of that. You know my heart. You have power with that. I'll just stick to what I know, and I do what I see. But you take care of my heart, because I can. You know, who can control the thoughts that come and the feelings that come, unless we say, Lord, all of that, I'm not going to make any decision on those things. I'm going to submit that all under your word. I can't control them, but you can. Now, you do that work when I walk in obedience as I see. You know, because I don't trust myself, and neither should you. And when we trust ourselves in that way, the Bible said, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't trust your feelings. Don't say that what comes out from your gut is from God. And then people say that, you know, I hear this, I feel this. And I have this statement that's sometimes offensive to some. I say, be careful. It's maybe the burritos from last night that speak. You know, because there's no way to distinguish unless you put that in the light of the Word. So honest, to be honest, to live true to the standard of God, to be true to what God wants us to be true to the nature that He reveals of Himself in the Word, in Christ, and in the Holy Spirit in us. And that we say, that is the standard, that is honesty, that is authenticity, that is how I want to be, not who I am and how I feel. And there would be discipline for us to go that way. And that's why the Proverbs that we read, guard your heart, guard your heart above all else, for it is a wellspring of life. How do you do that? You put away perversity from your mouth, keep corrupt talk far from your lips, you know. Stick to the standard that God laid down for you, and don't just spill your guts and say that is honesty. So let me put this this way. True to your heart is bunk. We live for the word. We live measure that, and that's why that's when we discover honesty. Now, let's look at the faces of dishonesty, as we will see that that is how we discover what God said about us inside. Dishonesty is with many faces. And first one is when you have hatred in heart, you become dishonest automatic. I mean, or that channel of dishonesty will pour out in ways that cannot be denied. Let's turn to Proverbs 10, verse 18. I don't know how to translate this into English, but Vietnamese has a very common saying. It say, "Thương ai thì trái ấu cũng tròn, mà ghét ai thì trái bộ hòn cũng méo." I don't know if you understand that. You know, this is a kind of nut. One is kind of long, elongated like this, and the other one is like perfectly round like a marble, you know, shooting marble. And it is saying that when you love somebody, you know, that elongated nut, you think it's round for that person. And when you hit somebody, even when he's perfect like that round marble, you think he's all crooked and all twisted. And why? Because the hatred in us change our perspective, and we become very dishonest in our evaluation and in our dealing with people. As verse 18 tells us here, that he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. Now, this doesn't mean that you know, if you have hatred in your heart, you say it out loud, then you're honest. What he's saying that when we have hatred in our heart concerning somebody, our evaluation or our relationship are based on lies with that person. And when you think that through, it's pretty true. When you don't like somebody, you know, you tend not to emphasize the good things about that person, and you tend to emphasize the bad things, the negative about that person. And sometimes there are facts and things about that person that may exonerate the person, and you might not put proper weight on that, but you jump on some things that, you know, even if it's flimsy, but cast a negative thing, you might call that fact. Why? Because the dishonesty is in operation in us. We do not give honest evaluation. We do not give proper weight on the fact. Not because of the person, it's because hatred is in our heart. We become dishonest, or dishonest have a channel to show through. Now, not only that we say we hate, but 1 John, we jump to New Testament now, turn there with me, say that dishonesty is practiced in a very obvious way that sometimes we don't see. Let's turn to 1 John 4, 20-21. And that is when we have something in our heart, in our relationship, lying, dishonesty come through right away. And this is how John put it. He said, if someone said, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother who he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Just very simply, he said, if you love God, if you say you love God, and you don't show the love to your brothers, it's not like, you know, I fail, I slip. He said that we are lying. The deception has taken over. So lying and dishonesty are not just words. They are expressed in the relationship as such. When we, in one side of the mouth say, "I love God," and on the other side, we fail to show love to our friends. So we need to watch out for that, for the fruit of deception. And when that behavior of, you know, the tai ao or tai bo hong, you know, the long nuts, round nuts that it is used to kind of remind us that fairness is not in us, that the word has to guide us. Related to that, the second aspect, another phase, is that when we have negative attitude toward people. Proverbs 17:4 says this: a wicked man listens to evil lips, a liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Just let that sink down a little bit. Dishonesty is not only when we express it. He said, when you don't do anything, when you don't say a word, you still show the heart of dishonesty. How? When you listen to negative things about people. When you kind of enjoy it or kind of side with it. The two verbs used in this sentence is listen and pay attention. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to malicious tongue. So when the two people talking about a third person, if one person just talk and the other one enjoy listening, both of them are liars. If the talks are not out of love and if they are not for building up, and if it is malicious, and so sometimes things come to you and you say, well, I've just listened. Well, why do you listen? Why do you listen to such things? Why do you listen to about things about people that have nothing to do with you? Or you're not in a position to do anything about that? The Bible said, why are you like that? Because you're dishonest. Because your liar is a sin. And then we realized, boy, I do that a lot. It happened to me a lot. Especially in kind of church and church leadership kind of thing. It would say, I got to be on my toes on this. Otherwise, things might be developing in me that I have not come to the Lord in mercy for mercy, and so liars pay attention to malicious tongue. How about this? This is interesting, and you may not see it at first, but the Bible called this lying in the strange way. Chapter 24, verse 28 to 29. It said that when we kind of pay back, or when we kind of get even. We say, well, that's justice. The Bible said, no, it is the heart of dishonesty, it is the heart of deception that brings that out. It said, this, do not testify against your brother without cause or use your lips to deceive. Do not say, I do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did. He said that the first sentence is the principal sentence. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause or use your lips to deceive. How? How does that work out? When you say, I'll do to him as he's done to me, and I'll pay back that man for what he did. When we engage in that attitude, kind of back and forth, you do it to me, I'll do it to you, that kind of thing, is from the evaluation that you deserve it. You deserve what I give to you because what you've done to me. We put ourselves in the seat of both the judge, and the executioner, and say, I determine what you're gonna get, and I'm gonna carry that out. When that happened, the Bible said that we live in that deception and that lying lips and to deceive. You done that before? I'll let him have it, he deserved that. Sometimes we don't carry it out. But in our hearts, we think that way. The Bible said, watch out. One another thing is very interesting here in Proverbs 30, verse 5 to 6, said that when we rationalize, when we know what God is saying, and then we add to that, or we want to change that, what I call rationalization, explaining why we don't do something, or explaining why we do something, the Bible said this, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Do not add to his word. When he said something, you do this, and we say, I can, but you understand, but you know the situation. Whatever we add to his word and try to either soften it or like the Pharisees, make it more restrictive than it is, he said that, you are lying when you do that. You add something to it, and you act from there. So many faces, as we look through, we can see that it pop up everywhere. But one thing for certain, this is all of us have to face. And please turn with me to 1 John. And then when we see this, then we will run to the Lord for cure. And 1 John 5 to 10 say this. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we have made him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. And then just the next chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who said, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So who is a liar and who is a dishonest man? He said, those who know the truth and don't do it. Those who hear the word and say, that's it, very good, wonderful, I have I learned a lot, and don't do it, he said, that's a liar. And so often it is our behavior, and so often we think it's all right. I mean, we know it's not all right, but we don't feel a remorse of it, we don't feel the pain of it, and we don't intend to change. And the word come and say, be careful in this because we are operating on deceit. James chapter 1, 22-23 does not leave us room to wiggle in this. He said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Very simple. If we just merely listen and think that's sufficient, we deceive ourselves. So many faces of deception, dishonesty to ourselves, to others, to measure ourselves in so many ways. The only thing we can do is to recognize the depth of it, the continuation of its presence, and the desperation of our heart and the need for God's grace and to come to his mercy and to really come to grip with how he feels about it and what he wants to do about that. Can you turn to the next person and kind of reinforce that point for me? I mean, it might hurt a little, but just point to the next person and say, you are a liar. And then turn the finger back and say, so am I. Help us. I mean, I feel this probably more than you do in the sense, because, I stand up here and say these things. And, boy, I feel bad inside. Not that I just discovered it now, but because when it comes to a focus, I say, I just don't want to preach this sermon, Lord. Let me choose something else. To be honest, you can't say this with a straight face. But it is in God's grace that we have to come and lay it out and say, all of us under the word, and we have to measure ourselves in this way, that we are desperately sick. That yes, God has delivered us from the penalty of sin, but we need to walk in obedience and avail ourselves to the work of grace and to walk in the truth. Otherwise, day in and day out, we deceive ourselves, taking all this as sufficient, all worship, all service, and he said, you just do it. Let God work it through your life, or you'll be just deceiving yourself. So perhaps, honesty is indeed a lonely word, and we just need to make it less so in our life, in our community. Let's look at the cure. So first, we need to understand God's attitude about this. Because again, when we say dishonesty, and we just think about ourselves, our attitude concerning dishonesty, all of us hate dishonesty. It's really strange. We hate dishonesty in people. When we see somebody lies, we just hate it, right? But then we just don't see our lies and we don't see our dishonesty. And when we see it, we rationalize it. We explain it away and therefore deceive ourselves even more. And yet we move in this so fast. We don't see how it is for us and we feel so comfortable. We detect others' lie like that in a second. And we pile up lies in our life and dishonesty in our life without feeling the weight of shame and the weight of pain on that until we come and hear what God said about that, about how he feels about this. turn to Proverbs 6:16. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which an abomination to Him. That is just a way the Hebrew emphasize, you know, just to say, pay attention to this. Don't, you know, poke your ears and listen to this. This is very important. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, lying tongues, and a hand that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utter lies, and one who speaks strife among brothers. I mean, it just emphasizes that, but when you look at that, you say, you know, it's talking about lying, dishonesty, all the same. Lying tongues, you know, the heart that devises wicked plans, a false witness, utter lies, spread strife among brothers. And so the core there, he said that, you know, I just hate lies, I hate dishonesty, and that is such an abomination to me. Verse 22 of chapter 12, the Lord spelled out very clearly, he said that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. There are the two things that he compared here. One is he detests lying lips, and he delights in men who are truthful, and the contrast there is for us to kind of get a sense of it. I don't know, do you think of something that fit the word detest? You know, something that you hate, you detest. When you see it, you want to run away, push it away, and you know, get rid of it. You know, there are things that in our life that we detest. Multiply that billions and billions of times, and we begin to see, you know, when we come into God's presence with all the lies in our hearts and lies in our life, the Lord just reacts to that with you know, He detests it. Only by the grace and mercy and the sacrifice of Christ that we remain in His presence, but how much He delights when we begin to move toward truth and let the work of the Holy Spirit form in us the image of Christ in that way. So what He likes, I need to move fast here. Let me just point out a few things. Let's turn to Psalms 15. Psalm 15, we're familiar with it when we prepare worship, when we sing song before the Lord. But he's talking about us right now as we sit here before Him, and He is measuring us in ways that is now becoming very clear. O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness, he who speaks truth in his heart, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friends. He's talking right to each one of us. Who this morning in worship would be pleasing to the Lord? He who has honesty in his heart, walks with integrity, relationship with others based on truth, and we know right away that we are in need of His mercy. So what do we do? Proverbs 30, 7-8, give a prayer that I don't believe I, you know, maybe from time to time I pray this, but it's not a constant in heart until I come back to this again and say, how come I have been praying this prayer? How come this has not been such, you know, a concern for me? And I suggest that maybe we haven't all been concerned so much about this. Two things I ask of you, verse 7, do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. That's the first thing, keep deception and lies far from me. And second is give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food that is my portion. Meaning, you know, just give me enough. Don't give me riches, don't give me too much, you know, don't let me too poor. But what is so concerning to him is that keep deception and lies far away from me. When was the last time we prayed that? Lord, keep deception from me. I'm such a liar. I can't stop lying. My heart is like this. Lord, you do the work. Keep it from me. Move it from me, because I just can't handle this. You know, but I do want to be like you. I do want to obey. I do want to walk your way. So God, we have to come to grip with what God wants in order for us to begin to appropriate the power of His grace and the change that comes from Him. But perhaps also in understanding that, we need to consider the consequences of dishonesty deceit in our life. Let me remind you again that it is the nature within. It is something that will bubble up constantly if we pay attention. And so when we realize that, we again come to the only source and the only cure that is in the Lord. verse 11 and 13 in Psalms chapter 34 said this: "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies." Come to me, my children. You know, gather up for instruction here, not necessarily just own children, but in all the teaching, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. And what's the main thing here? That if you love life, if you value life, if you want to see your life meaningful and purposeful and effective for the Lord, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Be honest, be true, be truthful. And that is the key to effective life and the key to relationship. And then you know, Proverbs 10 verse 9 tell us that when we don't do that, it will show the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. when we don't go straight, we will be found out as well. And chapter 12, verse 19 to 20, truthful lips endure forever, but lying tongues last only a moment. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. That is, you know, lies will be exposed, and whatever we can accomplish through that is only for a moment. And when we realize that that the consequences are huge and terrible, then you know, then it will drive us in desperation to the Lord. Perhaps the last picture of the Bible in Revelation will convince us of how God feels about this. Turn please to Revelation 22 and verse 15. You realize that this is, you know, the last parts of the book. Let me just read from 14. "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral person and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying." Now, very interesting how John wrote this. That is, you know, he began to list out a few serious offenses and sins. And then he sum up everything in one principle. So the way he sum up, meaning it cover everything that I just mentioned and everything I don't mention, and that is everyone who loves and practices lying. Lying is in every sin, and it's a part of every problem, and it will be in the lives of people who are outside of this eternal city of God. So the consequences are not just temporal, the consequences are eternal. And so we come to that, and now, you know, seek God for His solution. I'm just kind of rolling rapidly through this, and then I fear that perhaps we don't have the a sense of the deep undercurrent that we need to see in our life. I think more and more I'm aware of it. I think I'm more aware of it now than yesterday, and maybe this week preparing for this make me even more acutely aware for this problem. And then that sense of desperation, the sense that you know, I can fix the outside, I can fix people, I can do a lot of things, and yet only You can change the inside, Lord. Only You can deliver me from this heart, and You are able to. And you promised to do this, and the power of the cross is sufficient to overcome this. You know, it drives you to grace and to mercy, and also to the reality that you need. So let me just point that out in the solution from the Lord. I won't be able to exhaust it. Just first, cry out to the Lord to save us. To come to the Lord for grace, as in Psalms 120, the author cry out to say, "Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Lord, save me from this." I think that we will all need to come down and cry that instead of saying, you know, I'm basically an honest man. I'm basically, you know, just fixing a few slips here and there. We need to constantly come, and every time we look into our heart and kind of sense our motives and begin to see our attitude about others as not fair, and the evaluation that we put down on things and we just cry out to the Lord, "Lord, help me from this nature thing that's lingering, the habits. I know you changed my heart. You give me a new birth. You give me a new heart. You give me a new life. Lord, but this body of sin is still with me, and the habits still with me. Lord, deliver me from its power and the practice. Deliver me from lying lips and from deceitful tongues." Because after hearing this, and after coming to the Word, and we see the serious problems, and we kind of shake our head and say, "Boy, I got a problem," and then go on, taking hearing as sufficient, we just put lies upon lies. We just prove ourselves one more time how deceitful it is in our heart. So let's cry out to the Lord, and He will hear us. And the Word is the means that He help us, as in Psalms 119. Let me just read Psalm 119, verse 29 to 30. "Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your law. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws." How does God deliver us? How does the power come to us? And yes, the Holy Spirit will apply the truth. The Holy Spirit will make us more sensitive to the voice of our shepherd and our master. But it is for us to say, "I commit to your word. I chosen the way of truth. I set my heart on your law. Lord, I want to be delivered from this. Save me from this." And He said, "Okay, I will deliver you. Now start reading the Bible. Now start go to worship. Now start, go to the ministry group and small group and study the scripture and submit yourself to the word." And we say, "Yeah, when I have time, when it works and when it's interesting," you know, lies upon lies again. We may not saw that as lies before, but now it is. Because on one side we say, "Help me, save me," and then on the other side we refuse the means that the Lord used for it. And so we say, "No, Lord, I will commit. I will walk in your way. I will walk in the truth so that you will help me." And again, in verse 163, He said again, "There I hate and despise falsehood, and I love your law." How do I develop that? Because I now love falsehood. It is part of me in my own nature and habit. I have to replace that with the love of your law. I have to replace it with the love of the truth. And then God, in His mercy and in His time and His power, will also help us to overcome. And then we practice. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Said, "Finally, brothers," verse 8 to 9, "whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." He said, preoccupy your hearts with the things of God. Preoccupy the things that is excellent and pursue that kind of life. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the Lord of peace will be with you. So He said, you know, put your heart to the Word, think on the Word, and do what you learn. I mean, it's very simple there. That is the means of it. Not just reading the Word will do something for us on our own. And not just, okay, I'm going to go through all these meetings, will change our heart. But when we open ourselves as a desperate man, come before the Lord, say, "I cannot fix it myself. I need you for this, and therefore I embrace your means of deliverance and transformation, and the Lord will say, you will see the change. you will experience the power of transformation. So maybe it is for us just to remember that we are a part of that, the body of Christ, under the word, in that relationship that we live together, not only for ourselves, but helping one another as well. Let me just read you Ephesians, and then we'll bring that into a focus and conclusion here. Chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, so there's a part of us that we have to lay aside, and here he's talking about in relationship in the church, in working with one another, living with one another. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speaking truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So realize that we are the church. We are the person of Christ, the body of Christ. We commit to living in truth with one another. Now, when we say that, we realize right away that we can't, right? That's the whole thing. I love to be truthful. I want to be truthful. I just can't. And therefore, Lord, help me. But this is the principle. Every time I come and I see that, I confess my sin, I embrace the word, I practice what I learn. And the truth here is that the truth thing in our relationship with one another. And then verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. So you have to stop what we are doing right now. Stop the gossiping. Stop, talking about others or listening about things about others that we said, that's part of our deceitfulness and dishonesty. He said let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. How do you fix the dishonesty in the heart? You live in truth with others, practicing, saying things, living out, helping out, speaking things only that is according to need, only to build up, that is proper for the moment, and according to grace for those who hear. And the person that changed will be us. Let us stand. A lot of truth that comes through. And I don't know how, Lord, each one of us receive, but I just pray that we see you as the word of truth, that we face you, Lord, in our heart, the application of your Holy Spirit, bringing it into our life and situation, so that we understand the depth of our depravity, the problems that remain in our habits and in the flesh. And it has so many ways to express, Lord, that we begin to recognize more and more. We run to you and we say, Lord, we have been sinning against you. We have caused such displeasure in your heart that we have run against your truth. And we pray in repentance, and we pray, Lord, that you help us to respond to you, to see what you are talking to us in this way, so that we can change by your power and by your grace. We come to you and say, Lord, save us from this sin. Help us to be like you. Open our hearts to grace. And as you flow your grace mightily in us and through us, Lord, wash away, take away the habits of dishonesty and deception, and leave us with the wholesomeness of Christ and the focus on him and his nature and his honor, so that we walk each day, Lord, speaking truth to one another, building up one another with love and grace that we have received from you. Help us, Lord. Take us forward, Lord. Make us like you, Lord. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name.